So, and there seems to be also a great number of people who want to testify on this particular amendment. So since the two objectives are inconsistent with one another, are there any announcements that anyone would care to make regarding committee meetings before I ask the majority leader for a motion to recess until 2:30? Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker. The Judiciary Committee will continue to go on and have its meeting at 1:30, and I'd like to ask the members to be on time, as we do have two Senate priority things to deal with, and we'd like to try to deal with them in a brief time we have, if we could. If they'd be on time, it'd help. Thank you.
Representative Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Finance will meet right on time at 1:30 today.
Representative Tischer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Health, Education, and Social Services will be meeting at 1 o'clock, since we are going to reconvene at 2:30. I would again request that that the members be prompt, because we do have three bills that we do need attention.
Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ditto.
I think the I think we had an announcement regarding the State Affairs Committee. Representative Ringstad.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Resources Committee meeting this afternoon is canceled.
Further announcements, Representative Zaroff.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just very quickly, I appreciate the applause yesterday. Mother and child are doing well, and I'm getting older.
Representative Ward.
Yes, it's not a committee meeting, but my brother, Jim Ward, is the 17th best poker player in the world.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I just want to mention that somehow or other I seem to accumulate an elephant on my desk. If the person that belongs to you wants it, I was going to melt it down for a donkey, Mr. Speaker, but apparently the owner wants it back.
Further business to come before the body, Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in recess until 2:30.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands in recess until 2:30. Will the House please come back to order? Before the recess, we were down to consideration of the daily calendar and dealing with the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 302, and we have amendment number 2 before us. Without objection, I'd like to move back up the daily order of business to read across two or three reports of standing committees. Will the clerk please read reports of standing committees?
The Committee on Judiciary has had committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 1 rules relating to the proposal by Congress of an Equal Rights Amendment under consideration, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Hayes, Malone, Clarkson, and Wente. Having no recommendation, Liska, Barnes, and Bussell. Committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 rules has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 194, State Affairs, relating to the Kuskokwim Ice Classic, under consideration, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bussell, Chairman, concurred in by Liska, Hayes, Malone, Barnes, Bussell, Wente, and Clarkson. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 194, State Affairs, has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 84, Smoking in Public Places and Vehicles, under consideration. Recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 84, Finance, with the same title, and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Bettisworth, Chairman, concurred in by Pestinger, Ward, Rusendorf, Martin, and Bettisworth. Lindauer signed, do pass, smoke kills. Abood signed, no recommendation, kill, kill, kill. And having no recommendation, Hurlburt and Jara. House Bill 84 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us back to consideration of the daily calendar. We have amendment number 2 to the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 302 before us. Is there further debate on amendment number 2? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt amendment number 2 to the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 302? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
17 yeas, 21 nays.
Amendment number 2 has failed to be adopted. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number 3 by Locker. Page 4, lines 11 through 19. delete all materials, Section 8, and renumber succeeding sections accordingly.
Representative Locker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment and ask for unanimous consent.
There is objection, Representative Locker.
Thank you. This is not the first time that such a proposal has come before this body, and as an outsider, I was able to send my public opinion messages and get it stopped. However, I have to admit that it kind of crept up on me this time. I would like to say that it's the beginning of the end if we send our Alaska Housing Finance mortgage money out of the state. That money is appropriated for more than one reason. Probably the one most important is to provide affordable housing for Alaskans. But secondly, it's to stimulate our economy. It's jobs. Jobs where I live. And if we start sending that money to other states, even for just a select three people in this case, then we should send it for students, for servicemen, and other people that are required to be away from home. I'm hoping that this body will support this amendment.
Representative Fritz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I support this amendment. I think making this exception for the congressional delegation is like sending food packages to the Rockefellers. And furthermore, Mr. Speaker, it's my feeling that servicemen and students dotted all over the country in our educational program will be able to invest in real estate and homes to the detriment of those of us who live and work here in the state. Thank you, sir.
Representative Furness.
Mr. Speaker, I stand in opposition to this amendment. It really somewhat escapes me how anyone can take this very serious. As I recall, a congressional delegate salary is somewhere in the neighborhood of $67,000 a year. If you consider the high cost of living in Washington, D.C., and you consider the tremendous sacrifice that these people put up with being away from their home state. Mr. Speaker, I've been in Juneau for the last 120-some-odd days, and I can tell you setting up two separate households is no easy task. If we can make their term in Washington at least reasonably affordable by at least addressing their housing need, then I think that's one of the sacrifices we ought to make. Now, we're talking about three people, Mr. Speaker, who has tremendous income ability in this state. They sacrifice that income by serving this state, and they're all serving this state very well in our nation capital. And in my opinion, one of the fringe benefits that we should at least make towards them is to make available, if they so need, the ability of financing a home through this particular program.
Representative Ewing.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge you to defeat this particular amendment. I think it's a good provision. I think you have to consider the work that the congressional delegation puts into the state of Alaska, and that 9 or 10 months of the year that they spend, particularly in Washington, D.C., it's only an extension to allow them to get an Alaska Housing Finance loan, and they cannot qualify for two loans. They can only qualify for one. If they wish to qualify for one in the state, they can do so. If they wish to qualify for one in the District of Columbia, they can also do that. And I think it's a good provision.
Representative Szymanski.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I rise in favor of the amendment because I agree with the position taken by the representative from the Kenai that indeed these individuals are spending hundreds of thousands, even millions of dollars over the years to campaign for that office that they are so hard to go after, and if I felt that for some reason that they didn't want the job, I'm sure that they'd be quick to give it up, come home and take care of their home front, but I don't see them doing that, and I think it's unjust to set aside a special interest group which are so well taken care of in the first place. Beyond the salary level, there's obviously thousands of dollars that goes into travel accounts, per diem accounts, staffing accounts, and I've never seen it yet that they haven't somehow been able to spend months, days up here in Alaska, both visiting us, traveling around the country, sightseeing, skiing, over in Europe. I don't know. I just think at some point in time you got to draw the line. I think this is it. Thank you.
Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can't believe this amendment. I just can't. You're talking about three single individuals that are forced to live in that animal town, if you will. And it costs like the devil to get there. They probably have to have half their salaries go for protection to walk down the street. Now, I'll point out, let us be consistent if we're going to do that. According to the representative of the opposite gender from Matanuska Valley, if that be the truth, then let us cancel the student loans. Let's cancel those, because that money's going out of state, too, for other colleges. So maybe we ought to just, according to that theory and to that conversation, cancel the student loans. You got to spend all that money right here in our good old state of Alaska. But three little guys out there trying to do a job for you, and you probably voted them in anyway, they should have that same kind of cooperation and consideration from this state. It's a sacrifice to go back out there. If you've never been in that jungle, I suggest you go back. So I would highly recommend that you defeat this very flippant, in my opinion, amendment. It's a disgrace to have to even vote on this bill.
Representative Phillips?
Mr. Speaker, in support of the amendment, it's also a sacrifice if you're an Alaskan, and also if you're a serviceman. And I just feel that, based on this premise, if you're going to do for one, you might as well do for all Alaskans. And I think just because we have three people trying their best representatives from Washington, D.C., and I just feel that we're just opening up a new gate here to allow for other people who are living outside the state to take advantage of this program. And I just assume leave it shut for now.
President Martin?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand in favor very much of the amendment. For our students, I'm very much concerned about them. We're not providing housing for them in the state of Alaska, and perhaps we ought to address that problem and they won't be forced out of state. Number two, we do have a lot of other people besides these two dedicated workers on behalf of Alaska. The congressman spends 2 years, he can rerun or he can forget about it and let someone else run. The Senate is 6 years. The average military man goes in for 4 years. They may stay in one state at that time, after boot training, that is. Some of them stayed for 20 years and often felt that the military man gives up an awful lot for my state as well as around the nation because they don't get grassroots and they don't have an opportunity to get their principles into a home or some stake someplace. It's not in our state, maybe in the lower 48. I do think that the bill is really discriminatory. Not only we're talking about three men right now in Washington, but what about all the loyal staff who don't get the remunerations that the gentleman previously said? These men and women get rather low pay on Washington standards, and yet they aren't any significant aid and subsidies from buying homes there. I knew the young man last summer I met from Washington that works for, he lives in your area, Mr. Speaker, but I can't remember his name, but he works for Senator Stevens. Finally, he did buy a home in Washington, but why should he not be privileged to have this loan also? What about our Peace Corps workers? We got a large segment of people in Peace Corps and in missionary work around the world and in the Southern 48. Certainly, they work hard, and they give an awful lot with no very little salary and no remuneration for traveling or per diem or so on. I really think that we're opening a brand new ballpark, so to speak. And we don't even know who the players will be besides the three that everyone's concerned about.
President Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaker, responding to some earlier remarks, I think that the amendment is in order, and perhaps Section 8 of this bill is the part that's a little bit flippant. But I want to state that I do agree with my representative from Anchor Point on this amendment. And while I think that our congressmen generally are underpaid, the salaries they get sound high, but I know in fact that they're not, and I think legislative service generally is underpaid, I don't think that this bill is a place to try to solve it. And I think that from the remarks here on the floor, we can see that if we take this step, there are some very valid arguments for extending the program to other Alaskans that for whatever good reason have to reside for a while outside the state. I don't know where that would stop. I would urge the House to adopt the amendment.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I didn't vote for all those three little guys down there. And I think that
I think that we are all aware that when you're a congressman, why you pick up quite a bit of loose change on speaking on the circuit. And I don't think they're making the sacrifice. I think they got a better retirement system than our judges do.
Representative Liska.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am violently opposed to this amendment for one basic reason. We've got three elected officials living in Washington, D.C. They're Alaskans. Now, I don't know what other elected officials, other than these three individuals, that could even be considered be that could fall under this program. Now, I've lived in Washington, D.C. 4 years, and I can just about visualize if they're attempting to buy a home in the District of Columbia or Virginia, they've got problems. And if they are Alaskans, they should be able to qualify for Alaska Housing Finance Program to be able to purchase a home down there. I just can't support this amendment.
Representative Locker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for not calling me the opposite gender. I would just like to say that let's talk about those poor people that are making that terrible sacrifice. I think we have 40 people in here that know exactly what it feels like, or at least we have a 39. We're all making that same sacrifice. But when it comes to money, I think that they probably at least get enough to make their house payment. They do get $75 a day per diem, which is just a little less than we get. And in addition to that, they make between $60,000 and $69,000 a year. There's no question that no one expects to make money when they run for public office. And I don't think that the sacrifice that these people are making would be in any way compensated by the damage that could come to our Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and our mortgage lending program by allowing this to start.
Are you ready for the question, Representative Wentzie?
Mr. Speaker, I guess I'm trying to stall because I'm not real sure how I'm going to vote on that, but I guess I'm a little surprised that Republicans here are warming up before they attack the Libertarians later in the calendar, that now they're attacking Republicans. And for the representative from Matsu, I would note that SGR 1 did move out of judiciary today, and all the Democrats supported it. There were some no recs from some of the Republicans on the party. But at any rate, I think it's important, getting back to debate, Mr. Speaker, that, as I recall, it wasn't too long ago, in the last year or two, that those three individuals were called upon to essentially save the Alaska Housing Program in terms of a tax on the bonding program, the tax status of situations there, and I guess we called on them to defend that program there. I'd question the state loans chairman, loans committee chairman, to the extent that I doubt that they have the choice of whether I have a home back there or a home here, and I would hope, and I'll have to go check regulations, if someone that for all practical purposes resides 10, 11 months outside the state can't have an Alaska housing loan inside Alaska. So I doubt that they could qualify for an Alaska housing loan here after they'd already been sworn in or living that amount of time in Washington. And I would like to take some exception also to the statements of the State Affairs Chairman, to the extent that, as you all know, I was in the Capitol representing this House not too long ago, and I consider it a very beautiful city, and I think it's a beautiful thing for the United States that the Capitol of that nature is maintained. And I guess I'm well aware of that a large number of people have moved out of the city itself, and there is not necessarily the racial mix that there was once before, that there are changes that have taken place in the community of Washington, D.C., but I think it's inappropriate on the floor of this House to have the derogatory statements made about that community and about our national capital, particularly coming from a state affairs chairman.
Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The matter of equal protection was brought up by, I believe, the representative from Eagle River, but there's another aspect to that I'd like to address briefly, and I would address these comments to those of the body who remain undecided on this amendment. For one thing, my understanding of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation loan program is to provide for loans for people's primary place of domicile. I came down to Juneau recently to serve in the legislature, and I thought it would be very productive of me, or for me, if I could purchase a condominium or a house down here, but I found that I did not qualify for these programs because I would have to make Juneau my residence, and then consequently I would no longer be a resident of my district and ineligible for this seat. I think we have the same situation with these gentlemen who serve in Washington. Clearly, their place of residence is the state of Alaska, and if they travel to Washington as our representative, that certainly doesn't change that fact, and I think we should look to the ramifications of this sort of an amendment if we start granting loans to people's residence, which is not their primary domicile. Once again, if they were to accept a loan under the current terms of the law, I would understand that they would have to move to Washington, D.C., and consequently could not represent the state of Alaska at all. So I think if we're going to stay out of the courts here, we might want to keep this program for people's primary place of domicile, which in the case of these people would be the state of Alaska.
Representative Herbert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's some evidence that they either don't need it, don't want it, or don't qualify. Three reasons. Number one reason is I read where Senator Stevens says that heaven forbid he call Washington his home. And number two, Murkowski, he's a banker. He's already got the money. And number three, Don Young only gets there at 2-year shots, and I don't think he can afford the payments.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 3 to the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 302? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
23 yeas, 16 nays.
Amendment number 3 has been adopted. Does the clerk have further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute finance for House Bill 302 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? The House, please stand at ease. We have before us a motion to advance the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 302, amended House, from second to third reading and placed on final passage. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk, Representative Zaroff, do you object?
Mr. Speaker, may I have a brief at ease, please?
The House, please stand at ease. We have before us a motion that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 302, amended House, be advanced from second to third reading and placed on final passage. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 302, financed by the Finance Committee. An act relating to state housing loan and state alternative technology loan programs and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? President Malone?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I read the bill, one of the things that it does in Section 10, starting on page 5, is it would create a home ownership assistance fund program in the Department of Community and Regional Affairs housing program. And it looks to me like the setup on that program is substantially different from the Home Ownership Assistance Fund program that Alaska Housing Finance Corporation runs at present. And so I guess the question that I have here is, where did these suggested rules come from for the Department of Community and Regional Affairs Home Ownership Assistance Fund program?
Representative Ewing?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to answer the representative from the Kenai's questions, basically this the work on this particular bill was done with the advice of the governor, the advice of the community and regional affairs people. It sets up a new program for moderate and low-income people in the rural areas of Alaska, and essentially it's A lot of that, those provisions are also in HB 305, which is a governor's bill. However, there was no lower amount on the interest rate, so we had to make some major changes as far as the interest rate and the higher amount that can be loaned out to the rural areas. In other words, it's a 6% loan program to low and moderate income people in the rural areas with an upper limit of $120,000 on the upper limit on it. Originally, they didn't have any provisions for a lower limit. The interest rate could go down to 2 or 3%. We put a lower limit on it, looked at what the average income was to the people in the rural areas, and this particular bill does take into consideration those people.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 302, amended House, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
The Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 302, amended House, has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of committee substitute finance for House Bill 302 be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clauses.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 302.
Notice of reconsideration has been given by Representative Vasca for his vote on House Bill 302. Will the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
House Bill number 315 by the Special Committee on State Loans, an act making special appropriations to certain state loan programs and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs set House Bill 315 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 315 CNRA with the same title, and recommends it do pass. The report was assigned by Ms. Locker, Chairman, concurred in by Clarkson, Phillips, McBride, Fritz, and Locker, having no recommendation, Tischer and Zemanski. The House Special Committee on State Loans has had House Bill 315 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 315 Loans with a new title, and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Euling, Chairman, concurred in by Euling, Ward, Furness, and Kopanen. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 315 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 315 Finance with a new title, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Adams, Chairman, concurred in by Pestinger, Abood, Ward, Hurlburt, Jaroff, Grusendorf, Lindauer, Martin, Adams, and Bettesworth. I have three committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute finance for House Bill 315 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Finance Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute finance for House Bill 315 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 315 Finance by the Finance Committee, an act making special appropriations for certain state loan and grant programs and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 315 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
38 yeas, one nay.
The Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 315 has passed the House. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage of committee substitute finance for House Bill 315 be considered the roll call vote on the several effective date clauses.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
House Bill number 409 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the primary and general elections. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 409 under consideration, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 409 Judiciary with the same title, and recommends it do pass with attached amendment, and attaches a zero physical note. The report was signed by Mr. Liska, Vice Chairman, signing do pass, Bussell, Hayes, Barnes, and Liska. Signing do not pass, Clarkson and Malone. Wente signed do not pass, vote for best individual. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute Judiciary for House Bill 409 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the Judiciary Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by the Judiciary Committee. Page 4, line 1. Delete general, insert primary.
Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection?
Okay.
There is objection. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, just had a question. I was reading part of the bill. This is the Judiciary Committee amendment?
Yeah, it's the Judiciary Committee amendment, yes.
Speaker, I remove my objection to the amendment.
Is there further objection to the adoption of amendment number one?
Question.
Hearing none, amendment number one is adopted. Clerk, have further amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number two by Mr. Kopanen. Page 3, lines 7 to 25. Delete all material, lines 7 through 25, and renumber the following sections.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm moving to ask unanimous consent that this amendment be adopted.
There is objection. Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The intent in this case is to remove the parts of the bill to which there is heavy objection from the public, and to remove that part which restricts the freedom of political choice of the Alaskan voter. I don't agree that this bill is wholly bad. It reminds me of that cartoon from the 1890s in the English humor magazine, Punch, where you have a vicar having breakfast with the priest whom he's serving and discovering that the egg that he was served is somewhat old. And, of course, the minister is saying to the young vicar, I'm afraid that your egg is rather bad, and the young vicar saying, oh, no, Your Grace, parts of it are excellent. And I think this bill is somewhat the same. Parts of it may be excellent, but this part, which I think today, is somewhat rotten. What this does, of course, what this section, which I seek to delete, does, is to place only two candidates on the ballot in the final election. And it might not be so objectionable if we had a strong two-party system in this state, and if we could be certain that there was a majority system prevailing in the elections. But, as all of us know, we do not have a true, strong two-party system. Internally, the parties are relatively weak, except in certain areas where the either economic or community interests are represented through the parties. And in fact, even if we look at enrollments, we find that in the general voter enrollment, 18% of our voting population consider themselves and register themselves as members of the Republican Party, and 24% of the voting population consider themselves and enroll themselves in the Democratic Party. In other words, those of us here and those of our supporters who are active in our respective political parties constitute a minority of the population of the state of Alaska. And even within the parties, of course, we have a multitude of political opinions. And this is only reasonable, since I've never known any three Alaskans who didn't have at least 15 opinions among them. And I think that people should be allowed a broad as choice as possible in the general election. I applaud the first section of 409, which does open the primary to all parties. and which does open the primary to the write-in candidate. In other words, the primary is the proper place for people to make their first choice. But that is not a reason for closing off the general election from the general public opinion, whether that's independent or, as we sometimes say, undependable, or no party, or libertarian, or separatist, as the Alaskan Independence Party, vegetarian, or God knows what. I think those people have the right to organize themselves and to appear on the general election ballot. In fact, I look on that as the extension of the constitutional right of petitioning. This is the modern way you petition through your vote. It is also the right to gather together and to make one's opinion felt. How do you do it? Through organizing your political faction and running for office or presenting candidates for office. So we cannot preclude people, especially our fellow Alaskans, from doing that. And I think that we can best do that by continuing to hold the general election open to them. I might point out that even the intent of the 409 as presented cannot be wholly served because we cannot prevent write-in candidacies in the general. We have had members of this legislature elected as write-in candidates. And in fact, I believe that we have had members of this legislature elected as independent write-in candidates. I believe the previous governor originally came to this legislature undecided as to his political opinion. I'm not entirely certain whether he is one of the several candidates who has written in on the ballot, but it's not. I think he may very well have been. So if you have a write-in candidate who receives even 2% of the vote, it would mean that there is not a majority candidate elected in the general election. In fact, I would point out that at the end of the last election, when the final results were in, I requested and received from the Director of Elections a breakdown of the vote and the total vote cast for the House elections. And in that election, the members of this House were elected. When you accumulated all the votes that were cast for all of us, the Democratic members received a majority of the vote and not the Republican and other party members. In fact, had there not been a crafting on the election districts according to the lines and political theories originally set forward by Governor Gary of Massachusetts about 1810, we would not have had 19 Democrats and 21 Republicans. We would have had 21 Democrats and 19 Republicans. But that's the way it went, thanks to the redistricting that took place, which is, of course, still at issue in the courts. So I don't think that this particular section of the bill serves the interests of the people of the state, even the interests of the majority party, which the numbers don't indicate is a majority party. I think that it is an unwelcome intrusion on the freedom of choice of the Alaskan voter, and therefore I have put forward this amendment, and I ask the support of the body. Thank you.
President Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I support the amendment. Some months ago, the Judiciary Committee started looking at the question of people getting elected by a plurality of the votes in the general election and not the majority. And some people felt, quite rightly, I think, that that was a matter of concern, that we had people elected by less than a majority, either in their district, because there were three people in the general election, or, obviously, for the office of governor. And that is a concern. Others could argue, of course, that that doesn't mean a heck of a lot, that that just means that people would be more careful because they know that there's a majority of the people in their district that didn't vote for them and that they'd be more sensitive to their needs. But regardless of that, the point was that there was an effort to try to end up with a person getting elected by a majority of the people. The first suggestion submitted to the Judiciary Committee was that we have a runoff election after the general election. Well, the Division of Elections testified that you couldn't do that. There wasn't enough time between the time of the general election and the time of a runoff. You physically couldn't count all the votes and then get another ballot all put together and have it. So people rejected that idea. Then is when we started seeing the idea that you have before you, which is the idea that if we can't get the runoff after a general election, we'll in effect make the general election a runoff election. However, I don't think that has taken into account some very long-term traditional goals and purposes of a primary election. And it has not taken into account the genuine diversity in Alaska of public opinion, which has resulted in a broad variety of political beliefs not reflected just by the Republican and the Democratic Party. So what I'm trying to suggest to you today is that the solution produced by the Judiciary Committee over my objection is not the correct solution. And we have not found the correct solution. We have not found a way to fairly provide that a person get elected by a majority of the voters in their district or in the state as a whole. Mr. Speaker, there are some times when there aren't solutions to our problems. And I think that this is one of them. We have not found a solution that is fair and workable. You can't do it after the general election because of the timing in the Constitution, and you can't do it, in my opinion, before the general election because the result will be to foreclose people who do not wish to vote for a Democrat and who do not wish to vote for a Republican. It will foreclose them from voting for the person they want. It's my opinion, Mr. Speaker, if you can't find a fair and effective solution to a problem, you leave it alone and you think about it a while. The effect of this amendment would be to remove this section of the bill so we can think about it a little more, because we don't have the solution here. I support the amendment.
Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's not quite clear to me whether the maker of this amendment has read Amendment Number 4, which is lying on his desk. I think if he has and if he'll go through it, it will answer or clear up most of the questions that he's raised or wants to cure, or maybe some of the objections he has with the bill itself. We did, in fact, like the representative from downtown Anchorage just described, spend several months in the Judiciary Committee trying to work on this solution of arriving at having candidates sent to state offices across the state by a majority of the electorate in their individual districts. We tried to do that through the use of constitutional amendments, and were unable to achieve that goal. It was suggested by the Division of Elections that the track we've chosen to take here be taken and it be done statutorily. I can't stand here, Mr. Speaker, and tell you that this is the answer to everybody's dreams and that this piece of legislation is certainly not going to ensure that any one person gets elected over another one or anyone's party prevails over another party. The candidate that wants to get off his can and go to work and do a good job, and he's the one that's going to get elected, he or she, or they're the ones that are going to be elected regardless of which district they come from, any place in the state. I would, Mr. Speaker, urge the body to defeat this amendment so that we can move along on this bill and change this section under an amendment again that's lying on everybody's desk in Number 4. Once again, I would urge defeat of this amendment this time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Well, I didn't refer to the amendment because I wasn't sure that was in order. I just will briefly, because obviously the two things are in order. Amendment Number 4 is not going to solve the problem. It solves one problem only to create another one. Under Amendment Number 4, you're going to have the possibility on the general election ballot of having two Democrats and no Republicans, no Libertarians, no Independents, or anything else. Of course, could be the possibility to be two Republicans, but I doubt that. At any rate, it is no more fair than the existing language. I apologize for having to discuss a future amendment, but it isn't any better solution than the existing language. And again, I support the amendment that's before us.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 2 to the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 409? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
15 yeas, 24 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 2. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 3 by Mr. Kopanen. Page 3, line 29, delete 5, insert 1.
Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Kopanen.
The amendment is to delete the word 5% in section 10 and insert 1. The amendment, the section would then read, political party means a group of organized voters which represents a political program and which nominated a candidate for governor who received at least 1% of the total vote at the preceding primary election for governor, as the section is currently amended. This is an attempt to deal with a different problem. In the last election, we had a candidate on the ballot for governor in the general election who did not appear in the primary and who was not nominated by petition. That candidate was Mr. Joe Vogler, who was a candidate of the Alaska Independence Party. He had run twice. The first time he ran, he received a larger number of votes than the second time. He was on because there was a lawsuit brought by Mr. Vogler, which went through the court system in the case Vogler versus Miller, and which was decided in the favor of Mr. Vogler. The courts held that the existing statutes were too restrictive, both in their the number of signatures required to appear on the ballot and in the requirements for a political party. Historically, in territorial days and for some time thereafter, any group of Alaskans could get together and organize a political party, hold a convention, hammer out a platform, come together on a program of action that they wished to see carried out by the territory and subsequently the state of Alaska. There was no restriction in those days as to the number of votes they had to have. It was that they had to function as an organized political party. And indeed, there were and had been through the years a number of political parties. And it was, I regret to say, the party of which I am a member that felt that that was too liberal and attempted to restrict it. It was further restricted during the reign of a Republican governor, so I guess both of the organized party of the state bear responsibility for attempting to put a handle on the freedom of choice of the voters in this case. So we do share responsibility, and I think we might cooperate in going back and bringing up those amendments, just as we cooperated in an unfortunate attempt to restrict the freedom of choice in previous years. I don't think any of the current members were responsible for either movement. But we are under court order, essentially, to liberalize this section. I think that it is thoroughly in order. It is in a line with a number of states. I believe Ohio, I do not recall at this point if California has the 1% or 3%, but 1% to 3% seems to be the gamut that many states do have to permit a continuing political party. I hope that we proceed later, not in this statute, to liberalize or to make uniform the petition requirements so that we will be completely in line with the Equal Protection Clause, but that is not an issue here. But I feel that we should not open ourselves to further litigation on the point of allowing Alaskans to organize and to present candidates for public office. I think that we do have to open that up. It is our responsibility, even though the people who run on these may not present points of view or be candidates who whom we, as members of the two major parties, find ourselves wholly comfortable with. It's nevertheless a responsibility that we do open it up rather than seek to restrict it. I move the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to speak in opposition to the amendment. The previous speaker is exactly right. Previous legislatures set the 10% rule, which reigned for years and years. And because of a case bought by an individual that's traveled all the way to the Supreme Court, the courts have struck down the 10%. In striking down the 10%, however, they did not insert a figure as to just what was good or what was bad. The committee in this instance chose to go halfway from 10 to 0 and chose 5%, Mr. Speaker. It's the committee's opinion, along with that of the Division of Elections, that this is a proper compromise. And indeed, of course, it may well be challenged in the court and may well be struck down again, although I seriously doubt that. Rather than go to 1, it would seem to me, if we were going to consider to lower it any more than to 5, we might want to consider to abolish it altogether. It seemed to me, again, that 5 is a halfway point. I would certainly think it was a defensible one in court and would stand, and certainly is also a fair number. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 3 to the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 409? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
11 yeas, 28 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 3. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
I have an Amendment Number 4. I don't know who the sponsor of it is. It's
Judiciary Committee.
Amendment Number 4 by the Judiciary Committee. And it starts page 3, lines 9 through 25. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I guess I'm going to rise to either a parliamentary inquiry or a point of order. I realize, I guess we're getting bills filed by the Judiciary Committee without consulting with the members, but this was not brought up to the Judiciary Committee or to any of its members that I'm aware of, and I'm not sure a committee can sponsor an amendment anyway unless it's part of a committee report. So I guess I'd make it as a parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Speaker, whether it's properly before.
Perhaps we can get around that by asking for a brief at ease, and perhaps we can amend the sponsorship. Will the House please stand at ease? During the at ease, the sponsorship of Amendment Number 4 was clarified. Let me ask the clerk to reread Amendment Number 4 with the sponsor.
Amendment Number 4 by Bussell and Tischer, and it starts page 3, lines 9 through 25.
Representative Bussell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Since this bill has been once up before the body, and there's been some indication by members that party...
Move the amendment. Need to move the amendment.
Excuse me, Mr. Speaker. I move Amendment 4.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Bussell, do you wish to speak on the amendment?
I thought everybody got up. Excuse me, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As last time the bill was here, when it started through the process, there seemed to be some general objection to the use of the word party as represented in this section of the bill. In fact, when we were working with this bill in the Judiciary Committee, this was the one objectionable part that we got down to finally dealing with at the end. The original language that's for the most part embodied in this amendment was offered in the committee by the representative from Kenai, who was a member of the committee, and at that time was rejected. Since then, a great deal of thought, and as you can see by the amendment, more work has gone into it, and it's now offered to the body as an amendment which corrects the bill and makes it more palatable, and probably a good deal more fair in all truth, Mr. Speaker. This bill, as amended, of course, will in fact make sure that the best person is represented or finally ends up being elected from a district that he or she will represent. I would urge the body to support the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Malone, Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the remarks of the Judiciary Chairman. However, this amendment number 4 does fall a little short of the amendment I offered in committee. I have placed an amendment to amendment number 4 on the clerk's desk.
Will the clerk please read the amendment to amendment number 4?
Amendment to amendment number 4 by Mr. Malone. Page 3 of paragraph A. Insert after the word candidate the words of each party. Line 5 of paragraph A, after the word office, delete all language in the paragraph down through the word office on line 6 of paragraph A. Line 7, paragraph A, delete R each and insert 15 and delete their names, insert that candidate's name.
Representative Malone?
Yeah. Ms. Speaker, I think some of the line references in the amendment are incorrect. I would like to ask for brief at ease.
Will the House please stand at ease? I believe the amendment to the amendment is also being reproduced for the information of the members. I guess that's